That Toyota Hilux you just heard is my ride for the next 4 days. I'm here with about 200 rally car drivers and car fanatics from around the country. They've gathered here for the Beyond Bitumen Car Rally. We're driving from Bathurst to Orange over 4 days, going off-road and exploring the roads less travelled in country New South Wales. But it's not just about the cars. This is one of the biggest fundraisers supporting Beyond Blue across Australia. I'm Cheryl. I work for Beyond Blue and this is my first rally. I've not done anything like this before. I've got 2,400 kilometres and a lot of dirt road ahead of me. But first, a barbecue brekkie.
Excuse me, love, can you get some more bacon for me, please?
It's 7 a.m. and what better way to start a rally than with bacon and eggs on the barbie? We're in Bathurst, rally heartland in rural New South Wales. The sun's just come over the horizon and we're all a little bleary-eyed, but there's a real buzz in the air. There are farmers, CEOs, federal police, school teachers, business owners. Around me, I can see teams huddled under their bonnets, tinkering and talking engines. But as much as they love their cars, almost everyone here has in some way been through a mental health struggle, or they know someone who has. Peter and Trish Fionn are the husband and wife team behind the Beyond Bitumen Car Rally. They're the heart and soul of this event. Their story is incredibly heartbreaking and inspiring, and you'll hear it a bit later. Pete and Trish started this rally 4 years ago with just 9 cars.
Yes. In 2015, we had 9 cars and about 20 people. And now in year 4, 80 cars and nearly 200 people. Everybody's happy, enjoying what they came for, which was driving around the countryside, some of them in old cars that they love, some of them in just a four-wheel drive or a ute, and being part of something which is a great bit of camaraderie and for a great cause.
Good morning.
Going.
Good. How are you?
That's Trish, Pete's wife, seeing off each car. She does that every morning.
Check their radio.
Checked your radio. Checked your lights. Bag each.
Check.
I'm in a paddock with about 80 cars. Everything from old utes and classics to new comfy air-conditioned four-wheel drives. It would almost look like a scene from Mad Max. Nah. It's too green and everyone's friendly.
And I'm going to do some driving.
Oh my goodness.
My rally buddies are Dee and Katie from Beyond Blue. We're the first all-girl rally team to enter Beyond Bitumen, and we're pretty chuffed about that. Our days start pretty early, about 6 a.m. usually, and we're on the track by 8. The rally driving is definitely not what I expected. I thought we'd use Google Maps to get from start to finish each day. Nah. Every team gets a mammoth list of instructions. Every single left turn, right turn, bridge crossing, hill climb, everything that's to be covered each day. That list is the only thing keeping us en route. It tells us what to do and within what distance. Sometimes there's an instruction every 200 metres. Plus, there are potholes, sheep, and a lot of these roads aren't marked. It turns out we're the slowest on the road. Every 2 minutes, someone's overtaking us in a cloud of dust. We've just left Dubbo, we're on Route Parks. We should be there by lunchtime, so that's another 2 hours away. I'm on Lincoln's Lane at the moment. This is a dirt road, there's not a lot out here. It's very dry, there's hardly any green, no water, and it's very dusty. So every time a car comes past, the whole landscape is just covered in dust. There's a lot of birds, surprisingly, lots of galahs, lots of crows. So as I said, we're on our way to Parks. Looking forward to some nice lunch there. Mm-hmm. Every day we drive through rural towns, some so small you barely realise they're there. But we get to meet the locals when we stop for lunch. Each day, we pull up at a primary school along our route and tuck into a delicious spread cooked up by the school parents. Here we are at St Joseph's in Condobolin. Pete's just thanking the school for our feed.
So, love to present an empty envelope for $3,500.
As you heard, Pete makes a pretty generous donation at every school we stop by. And for some of these schools, that donation could be the biggest they see all year. I'm going to jump in the car now with Guy, a firefighter from New South Wales.
My name's Guy Sadler. I'm a career fireman. I've been in the fire services for 15 years. On a daily basis, I get to see the trauma that is placed on our firefighters. The incidents that we attend affect us, and you know, sometimes we don't deal with them very well.
Guy's part of Team 000. He's here with his son Corbin and Matt, a New South Wales police officer. Team 000 is trying to start a conversation about mental health among emergency services. The nature of emergency service work, the constant exposure to trauma and life and death situations, as well as huge workloads, can put these workers at greater risk when it comes to mental health. Both Guy and Matt have had their mental health struggles. I'd initially sat down to chat with Matt, who after years of police work has post-traumatic stress disorder. But it's not an easy thing to talk about. And in the end, Guy stepped in and shared his own experience.
I suffered from PTSD from being deployed with the military. And I don't think you ever get over those things, but you just learn to work with it and you build onto it. There's times when you lay awake at night thinking about the things that you know, you've seen and you've had to deal with. If I can, as part of this rally, if I can touch one person and say, it's okay, talk, it's not weak to talk, then we've done our job. And in modern society, we need to understand that. We need to understand that our emergency responders aren't cold-faced heroes. They're human beings like everyone else.
For Pete and Trish, this rally marks a personal journey. In 2005, their 16-year-old daughter Beth died by suicide, and life as they knew it changed forever.
Everything changed, you know. We felt differently about everything, didn't we? And even for a long time, we actually didn't care about much at all. But then when we, you know, pulled ourselves together a bit, we started to just really think about what we wanted in life, and it did change our path in life. And we live a much more simple life now, and things are not important to us anymore. So it has changed us a lot in that way, hasn't it?
And tell us a little bit about Beth. What was she like?
Well, when she was little, she was very shy and quiet, wasn't she? She was, we used to call her our little clam, actually. You know, we had to prize her open to get her to talk. And then when she became a teenager, she seemed to come out of that. Everyone saw her as the happy kid in the classroom, the teachers, all. She was, you know, she was our bright light, wasn't she? She used to make us laugh all the time. She was the joker in the family. So, obviously when she made that decision, it was a huge shock, because she just covered it up.
For Pete, his grief manifested itself in a different way.
Since she died, I'd struggled with depression. And yes, I didn't want anyone to have to, you know, carry that burden.
I think at one point when we realised that Peter was struggling with depression, And then when we had a look, good, long, hard look at it, and we realised that he'd been struggling for a lot longer than we realised, that's when we thought, gosh, this is probably the case for lots of people.
What do you think Beth would think of the Carolee?
She'd love it.
Yeah, she'd love it. She was, of all my kids, she was the car nut. She was the one who I was teaching her to drive at the time when she died. And she was the one who wanted to get out on the freeway and drive home from the first lesson on the freeway up the mountain, and just to achieve that and say, hey, look at me, aren't I good at this? But yeah, she I remember one year she made a Christmas list and the things that she wanted on it. And yeah, I can't remember all of them, but one of them was a fully sick Commodore.
10 years later, Pete and Trish started the Beyond Bitumen Car Rally to get people, and especially country people, talking about mental health, and also to let people know that there is support out there.
There's lots of conversations going on of big burly blokes who are saying, hey, yeah, well, I'm struggling at the moment, or I have struggled in the past, or I've got a family member who is struggling and I'm here to support them and raise awareness and do what I can to make this normal mainstream issues that everybody should be able to address and talk freely about.
Evelyn is one of the handful of women on the rally. She's navigating for her husband, Phil. Evelyn says the most valuable part of this rally is the conversations it starts along the way.
Yes, my name's Evelyn and I'm from Canberra. And I hadn't really had anything happen close, but in the last 6 weeks, I've had 4 funerals and it's all been people that have taken their own lives. And I just found that so devastating. Even with all the awareness that's out there and all the information we have, we're still missing it. We're not able to pick up the signs, and we just need to get to a point where we maybe are not so polite, and if we think someone's in a situation, say, listen, are you thinking about suicide, and be that direct with them? Because if we pussyfoot around, they just say, oh no, I'm fine. It's the fundraising's all really good, but it's also really about raising awareness and just getting out there with the signs on the car. It starts up a conversation.
Virtually everyone I've met on this rally has a similar story. Of all the rallies they could join, they chose this one because either they or someone they know has struggled with their mental health. And of course, at the heart of it, they love their machines. They love the road and the freedom.
You've been in the car, you know what I mean. It's a very unique event. People drive to whatever their own personal. Some people drive slow, some people drive fast, but I enjoy just enjoy every part of it, the camaraderie and meeting new people, and it's just fantastic.
Eric and his mate John took me for a bit of a spin on the last leg of the journey, from Parkes to Orange. I wish I'd thought to record more of that ride, but I was having too much fun. They say they're not competitive, but these guys are serious rally drivers.
500 metres hard left. We go series of lefts and rights. Each run 1 kilometre apart.
Today was a good run this morning. Lots of interesting different challenges. A lot of stock on the road, which was we had to take a bit of extra caution there. But apart from that, it was a really great morning, some fantastic scenery.
The driver's got to be switched on, but after watching these guys in action, I think the navigator has the top job.
It's important to keep your driver aware of what's happening up ahead. That's the most important thing, but you've got to watch what's going on as well in relation to some livestock that might be around, or a train might be coming.
And does John feel any pressure as the navigator?
No pressure as a navigator. You just draw on your vast experience.
There's a lot of joking around and a bit of mischief too. I caught up with a couple of guys from Car 66 when we pulled into the Parkes Observatory. We stopped in to see the famous dish, but as it turned out, there was a wedding there. So, of course, we joined in. Steve and Patrick shared some of the antics that take place off the course.
We woke this morning to our car being jacked up.
That's a good point.
By our mates pranking us. Yeah. Anyway, our friend who jacked our car up, we've got his two jacks he used, and we've advertised them on Gumtree and had a high level of interest. So that will also
be... we may have sold them.
Extra proceeds going to a fantastic cause.
Fabulous. Is that true?
And that's very true.
Absolutely.
I'll show you the app. Lunch today. How good was lunch today?
Lunch was great, particularly when we got him back.
Yes.
By Vaselining up his hand, his door handles.
Because he put a fire extinguisher through our car window.
We rolled and roared through country towns, meeting locals and making friends. And then, before we knew it, the rally had reached its final leg. But it finished on such a high with the closing dinner and fundraising auction. And there was nothing silent about this auction. Things got loud very quickly. Beyond Bitumen generated more than $400,000 for Beyond Blue this year. Over the last 4 years, it's raised more than $985,000. Every cent raised goes directly into programs like the Wayback Support Service, which helps people who are at most risk of suicide. For Dee, Katie and I, it was incredibly moving to see the support for Beyond Blue in this group. Seeing these strong, stoic men break down into tears as they opened up and told us about their struggles, about the mates they'd lost, thanking us for the work we do. It was really humbling. It makes you realise just how important Beyond Blue's programs are to people, and how important it is for Beyond Blue to have support from people like Pete and Trish. This rally has been such a great experience. It's not something I ever thought I'd be part of, but I've enjoyed every minute. I'll leave you now with this sing-along that erupted at the closing dinner. Hopefully it'll give you a sense of the support and the camaraderie in the room on that final night. About Beyond Bitumen, or to register for future events, go to charitycarevents.com.au. And if you or someone you know needs mental health support, go to beyondblue.org.au. You